You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles. We're in the book of Romans tonight. Pardon me. Romans chapter 8, and we're concluding our seven-week study tonight. The attributes of a good Christian. The attributes of a good Christian. One, a good Christian. By the way, when he was singing that song, didn't you feel like saying amen?
Amen.
Try it again. Didn't you feel like saying amen?
Yes,
yeah, now fellas, we can say amen on Wednesday night around here, all right? Not just Sunday night or Sunday morning. We can say it Wednesday night. Say, but I'm tired. We'll get over it. You can sleep all night. And you get an extra hour of sleep this week, so that's going to be great as well. But we looked at the attributes of a good Christian. Number one, they're living for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. He is coming again. He is coming again. This very same Jesus, rejected of men. He's coming. I don't know, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but I know this, Brother Manna, it's going to be soon. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. We're going home. Don't drive your stakes too deep, friend. We're moving in the morning. And I love that thought. And so a good Christian, the attributes of a good, he's living for the second coming. Since we had that study 7-8 weeks ago, have you even thought that he might be coming? Has it even been part of your daily living? Did you get up ever any morning and say, maybe today? Maybe today's the day you're going to come and gather us home. Maybe today my Lord will comfort me. A good Christian, one of the attributes, he's living for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we looked at a good Christian prays. And I gave you Bobby Robertson's prayer. And I gave it to you on a card. Remember the 3 points he prayed 35 years ago. I finished preaching there. And he said, Lord, help us to be real. Help us to confess our sins. And help us to walk humbly before thee. That's really the Christian life is all about. Just be real. If a school teacher sits you down and say, how are you doing spiritually these days? Don't say, I'm doing great, doing great, doing great. Wondering everything. If you're not doing great, just say, you know, I'm struggling a little bit. There's nothing wrong with struggling.
Amen.
Nothing wrong at all. But just be real about it. And confess your sins every day. And throughout the day, just confess your sins. And then walk humbly before God.
Amen.
Then thirdly, we saw that a good Christian has a love for God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
I know you do. You wouldn't be here on Wednesday night if you didn't love the Lord. Good night. You'd go home from work and you'd put your pajamas on and you'd be sitting in a recliner chair right now. You love God. I know you love God. And I love the fact that this is a church that loves our Lord. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. What words can I find to tell Jesus I love him because he first loved me? I'm so glad God loves me. Then we saw number four, that a good Christian has a love for souls. Always trying to reach the lost for Christ. Someone prayed it today in one of the chapels, or someone I heard it prayed today, that we might not just be concerned at soul winning time, but all the time. Amen. Passing tracts to everyone. You know, I pass quite a few tracts if I'm out, especially in a daytime, and almost everyone says, thank you. Thank you very much. And most people don't reject it. They say, what do you do when people slam the door in your face? I don't really have that. People are open to the message of salvation.
Amen.
They may not want to talk about it, and they may say, you know, I'll look at it, but thank you, and shut the door. But I don't find that very few people are very antagonistic.
Right.
And so we saw that love souls. And then we saw that a good Christian loves others. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today. Though it be small, some neighborly deed. Help somebody today. Everybody on planet Earth is carrying a burden. Right. Did you hear what I just said? Every person on planet Earth is carrying some type of burden. Right. It may be a burden about your marriage, or about your children, or about your health, or about your relatives, or about your finances. Everybody's carrying a burden. Everybody in this room has a burden tonight. And so be concerned with others. And don't talk to others and then they say, well, I'm having a major surgery. Well, what are you having? Well, I'm having a kidney removed. Oh, I've had the same thing. That's nothing. That's nothing. Don't tell them about you at all. Don't even tell them that you've had the kidney surgery. It's just tell them you'll be okay. God will take care of you. He always will. And then last week, we saw that a good Christian has his finances in order. He tithes. He gives to worldwide missions. He's just invested in the work of God. Well, tonight we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and I think you'll know from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we have 20 times the word Spirit is mentioned. I want you to read with me verse 8 through 14. Verses 8 through 14. Romans 8, 8 through 14. Ready? Begin. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See, God wants to lead you tonight, friend, by the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, when I got saved, I never knew this happened to me. I didn't know for years later. I never heard any preaching on it. I never knew this happened. But when I got saved, Brother Whitlow, good to have you back. When I got saved, and Sister Dreamer, you're looking like you're feeling a little bit better. I hope you are. But when I got saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God moved within my heart. I didn't know I'd had the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look tonight, what does the Holy Spirit do in the life of a believer? I had no idea that the Holy Spirit moved in my heart. I had no idea that if I went to a tavern, the Holy Spirit would go with me. He's grieved to be there, but He lives within me. Now, the Holy Spirit of God needs to control. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. And you know that the more you don't get any more of the Holy Spirit of God. You don't grow and grow and grow and all of a sudden you're just busting out with the Holy Spirit. You have all the Spirit of God when you got saved. But the Spirit doesn't have all of us. I've told you this illustration for years. Let's say I come to your house and I knock on the door. And I knock on the door and your husband answers the door. And he says, Pastor, I am so glad to see you. Is your wife with you? I said, no, she's not here. But I could call her. She could come for dinner if it's dinner time. Oh, we want you. But just come on in. And he opens the closet door in right there in the lobby, and he puts me in the closet. Am I in the house?
Yeah.
Am I in the house?
Yeah.
I'm in. The Holy Spirit of God is in my life. About an hour later, your sweet wife says, didn't I hear the pastor at the door? Well, yeah, he's here. Well, where is he? Well, he's in the closet. Well, open the closet, bring them in, bring them into the kitchen. Let's have a cup of coffee and some cookies, and let's get something to eat. And here, show them the living room. And now I'm filling the house. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. That the Spirit of God is controlling my life. I'm not just regulating him to some little closet and I shut the door. No, he's filling my life.
Amen.
And so tonight I want to look with you. There are three that bear record in heaven. 1 John chapter 5. Three that bear record in heaven. These three are one. The Father, the Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit class God? Yes or no? Yes, he is. Is Jesus God? Yes or no? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's Jesus. Is the Father part of the Godhead? Yes, he is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. They are three that bear record in heaven. But one of those lives within us. What does that Holy Spirit of God do? I want you to look with me tonight as we begin. Go back to John and chapter 14. John 14, and if you listen carefully, I'll only keep you 2 hours and 45 minutes. If you don't listen carefully, I'll keep you 3 hours and 25 minutes. So listen carefully tonight, will you? That was funny. All right, John 14. I want you to read John 14, verse 26. This is one of the functions, if you're writing notes tonight, of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, ready? Begin. But the Comforter... Look at chapter 15, verse 26. Ready? Begin. But when the Comforter has come, the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 27, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. What is one of the functions of the Holy Spirit of God? What's one of the functions? It says it right there. What is one function? He comforts us. He comforts us in all of our tribulation.
Amen.
I tell you, I can tell you from firsthand experience that God has been my comfort through my life. A lot of times I don't recognize who he is. A lot of times I neglect him. I should not do that. But I tell you, sometimes my heart is so heavy, as yours is. I don't have any bigger woes than you, probably not nearly as heavy as yours. But sometimes I get overwhelmed with grief. I get overwhelmed with sorrow. I get overwhelmed with sin. I get overwhelmed with pressures of life. And sometimes I think, you know, I think nothing's going right. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat some worms. Big, fat, juicy ones, long, skinny, slimy ones, itsy, bitsy, fuzzy, wuzzy worms. I just feel that way, and that's wrong of me. But I tell you what, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The Comforter. I tell you, he has comforted me in the night hours so many times. So many times in the night I get up, I cannot sleep. And I do what you do. Don't look down on me. I worry. I know I should not worry. Why worry when you can pray? Why pray when you can worry? But I worry, and I look at our finances, and I look at the needs, and I look at this issue and that issue, and I get nervous about it, and I pray about it. And it bothers me. And it bothers you, things that you're facing. And I tell you what, in those night hours, so many times, Brother Rick, God has shown up in my life. Amen. He has comforted me. I recall, honey, so often when we went through your cancer bout this last year, Brother Fanera, Mrs. Fanera would remember this. God was so good to us. God just comforted our hearts. When for a season I didn't know if she was going to make it, I got so lonely at nights. I couldn't sleep in that hospital. And I'd get so lonely and I'd get so afraid. And the Comforter would come. Do you know the joy of the Comforter?
Amen.
He'll comfort you in all your tribulation. Look what it says here in John chapter number 14. How about verse number 26 again? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Father, whom the Father has sent in my name, he shall what? What's the Spirit of God going to do you secondly? He's going to what? He'll teach you. You're a good class. One, he's the Comforter. Say it together. He's the
Comforter.
And secondly, he's the
teacher.
He's the teacher. He will teach you all things. I recall in college, I had a couple professors, Brother Oxenine, that would pray, and Lord, our students are going to take this test. Then it always include this, and you know what I'm going to say. You're smiling already. Help them to remember the things that they have studied and learned. And don't help them if they haven't studied. That's pretty rough. The job of the Holy Spirit of God is to teach us. God wants to teach you His Bible. God wants to teach you His Word. God wants to teach you His will. His will for your life, His desire for your life. So many of you in this room tonight, and I know most of our college students aren't here. We just have high school. None of the elementary kids are all out. Spanish is out of here tonight. But I do know that most of this room, many are young. And you're going to learn, Brother Travis. They're going to learn that the Spirit of God will teach them His will for their life. In chapel today, I think I had one freshman boy, one freshman boy stood up and said, I believe God's called me to pastor. One. Well, that's okay. Because many of those boys are going to be called of God to pastor.
Amen.
They're not going to be able to shake it. And they're going to serve God. And many are going to be called to mission fields all around, Brother Everson, the world. And they're going to go out and preach the gospel. They're going to go to poverty nations. They're going to go to Muslim nations. They're going to go to the nations of the world. They'll go to China and other places that are shut down to the gospel. And they'll preach the word of God, and God is going to bless their ministry. But they'll learn that as they're taught by the Holy Spirit. They'll learn as the Spirit of God teaches them their will. His will. You know, God's going to teach them who to marry. If they'll listen, God will teach that. Honey, remember when I came to your dad, I told the college students this today at chapel. When I came to your dad's church and your mom had just passed away 55 years ago, and I was there, and you played the piano, and I led the music, but we didn't make music together. She didn't like me. Very foolish decision on her part. I mean, she had this hunk of a man here in her corner. And she looked, Jeremy, she looked right past me. She had no desire for me. But I didn't have any desire for her. And that went on. I recall your dad said, Cynthia, you need to go over to the church. She goes, it's Saturday morning. She goes, well, Jack's having junior church choir practice. Remember that? You don't remember that? Well, you had to play on Saturday morning. I remember that. And then we had to have the youth choir on Sunday afternoon and practice and all that. And she didn't like me and I didn't like her. And then she wrote me this letter. She says it's a joke, but it wasn't a joke. It was real, you know, asking for a date. You'll have to get her side of the story. The college students were all writing notes to the Bible college students. And I got on Wednesday, box 24, Maranatha Baptist Bible College. I got a letter from her and she was requesting a date with me. Well, she says it was a joke. And reading the letter, it was a joke. I'll tell you that right now. But she wrote me this letter. And that night after church, I said, would you go with me to the bank tonight? I was working for her dad for $25 a week. I said, I got to go to a First National Bank and I want to talk to you. We were driving to the bank and that 65 Ford, that big old bench seat in the front. And you've heard this story 1,000 times, but I like to tell it tonight. And she is hugging her door and I was hugging my door. And she said, okay, what am I in trouble for? I said, you're not in trouble. Well, why are we going to the bank then? Well, I said, I got your letter. You wanted a date. She goes, I was just joking. I said, well, I want it to be with you. You know, Brother Bruce, I was turning the corner right then. I was turning just like this, and she came sliding off. She, Brother Derek, you think Brooke wants to be close to you? I mean, she just wedged me into that door. I couldn't breathe. I was trying to drive. I said, let me stop here. I can't drive. And after that, 9 months later, we were married. She told me I was getting married. But you know what? God taught me that she was the perfect partner for my life.
Amen.
God taught me that. It was hard on her because I had to take my black book and say no to all these other girls. Their names were in my black book. I had to say no to my mother, to my sisters, my aunts. That's about the people that were in my book. But God taught me. God can teach you anything He wants to teach you. Number one, we're going out of time quickly. What does the Holy Spirit of God do for you? Number one, He's the
comforter.
Secondly, He's the
teacher.
Thirdly, I want you to see in chapter 16 of John, 16, verse 13. Howbeit the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you. We sing, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this weary land. I am weak, but thou, God will guide you. The Spirit of God will guide you. I believe this with all my heart. I believe God guides you in driving your car. I believe that. Oftentimes I get in my car and I'll say, Lord, there's many ways to get to this place. Many ways to get over to El Camino, down Lafayette or down Scott or down San Tomas or down Coleman. I got four different ways to get to El Camino. I'll say, God, which way do you want me to go today? He wants to guide me. He wants to guide me to, my mother and dad were driving on Mother's Day many years ago, 1976, Toronto. And that day they got to that Jack in the Box at the end of Lafayette by the baseball park we play. And my dad was going through the green light and a lady came and broadside, and 13 people wound up in the hospital that Sunday afternoon. But God directed their path that way. It doesn't mean that you're going to be free from accidents. God directs your life what He wants. Number four, real quickly. Number one, God, what? Is the comforter. Secondly, He's the teacher. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit guides us. Chapter 16, verse number 8. Verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because they go to my Father. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. You know what the Holy Spirit of God does? He convicts us. Now here's one. I'll just take a minute on it and we'll be done. But the Holy Spirit of God convicts us. I could... When I was young, before I was saved, I could sin and I didn't get convicted. I didn't have a hard time lying to my mom. I could lie to my mom. I could think evil words when I was before I was saved. It didn't hurt me, I thought those evil words. But when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God convicts me. A man came to my study probably 40 years ago, and he was a new Christian, and he and his wife were having a little bit of a problem, and we were dealing with it. And he said, "I don't," and he swore. And immediately when he swore, he hung his head and said, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I swore. I know better than that. I'm saved." I said, "You're encouraging me right now." He goes, "What?" I said, "You've encouraged me so much." Because that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that you knew you did wrong. A lot of times someone will swear and they don't even know they're swearing. But I said, the very fact that you're so convicted of it means that you're saved. You're eternally saved. It really helped him that day. I'll never forget it. You know, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit convicts you. Don't say that. I know I'm good on this one. I know throughout the day, God seals my tongue so many times. I just know it throughout the day. I'll ask God, Brother Langston, I'll ask God to guard my mouth that I may not open up and say things I ought not to say. Give advice where I ought not to give advice. Give direction where I don't want to, they don't want it. And God sealed my mouth. I don't know if my wife would know this, but I have prayed that for years in our marriage, that God would just seal my mouth today. Seal my mouth. May I not say anything that would be hurtful to her. May I not say anything that would God just guide my mouth.
Amen.
That I not say things that would be evil. You know, lastly, let me I'll just give you a few more. The Holy Spirit of God, He intercedes for us. Romans 8:26. Now the Spirit of God intercedes on our behalf. Sometimes I don't know how to pray. A lot of times I don't know how to pray for you. I think of a man that's sitting here right now tonight. I've been praying for him, and I prayed for him because he has a physical need. But I don't know what the condition of that physical need is any longer. I don't know if it's gone or if it's still there. I was praying for him the other day. I said, Lord, you know this man had this physical need. And I believe it's gone, but maybe it's not. But I pray for this man with this physical need. God knows how to intercede in groanings that I don't know about my own life. And then number six or number seven, He empowers us. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. God wants to empower you.
Amen.
And then number seven, He is the director of missions. Acts chapter 13, the Spirit of God directed all these missions and where they were to go, with the Holy Spirit of God leading the way. You know, tonight I'm so thankful the Spirit of God lives within me.
Amen.
I'm glad He loves me so much.
Amen.
That He's willing to comfort me and teach me and guide me. He's willing to empower me. He's willing to seal me. I didn't even cover that, but He's willing to do that. He's willing to correct me. He's willing to intercede for me. He's willing to convict me. The Holy Spirit of God. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's close in prayer. Our Father, tonight I want to thank You for Wednesday night. Lord, I love Wednesday night. I thank You for the Holy Spirit of God. May our teenagers fall in love with the Spirit of God. May they begin to understand who He is. May they begin to understand how He operates in their life. May they listen to the Spirit of God. Lord, You still speak. I know His voice. And I pray that we would walk with You and talk with You.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.